Hey everybody, good morning and welcome to 514 Church. That video is so true. One day to celebrate moms is not quite enough. If you weren't crying yet, you might be now because that video was so special. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms who are joining us today. We're so excited because today what we want to do is we want to have an honest and hopefully encouraging conversation about some of, in my opinion, the strongest, most brave people on the planet, and that's moms. I heard this quote that a mother continues to labor long after a child is born. And I think that is so true. That is so real. I think maybe I've labored harder, you know, in the last few years than I did when I actually had my kids. But today, I'm up here with some incredible women who can probably attest to that, right? A mother who labored and worked hard to raise all of us to who we are today. And I think Mother's Day is an interesting day. It can be a mixed day of emotion. It can be somewhat polarizing. For many, it's a beautiful day. It's a day that I hope if you are a mom today, you feel loved, you feel celebrated, and you feel honored. And then I think today, Mother's Day is also a day that's really challenging for a lot of people. I think it's a day that comes with a sting of an unfulfilled dream, a sting of loss of either a child or a mom, a sting of just a reminder of a hard relationship. Many people are in that boat, or just a sting of silence. And so as beautiful as this day is, I think it's equally hard. And so we want to dive into that today. We want to have a conversation about the beauty and the hard, the struggle and the joy and all of that. And what I think and what we're going to get into is how God uses motherhood as this beautiful experience where I think that he shows up in it in very profound ways. And I also believe that the fingerprint of God, the God of the universe, it is so evident and it is so obvious in moms, right? Like the way that moms love and the way that they sacrifice, oh my gosh, I think it shines light on who God is and the characteristics of him. And so I want you to lean in today, even if you're not a mom, because I think we have a whole lot to learn from mamas, right? Oh, yeah. And so we're going to get into that today, and we're going to talk about how God uses motherhood as an experience, even the pain in that, the struggle in that, and he shows up in big ways. That's been our experience. And so we're so excited to get into this. I know that I've been working with you guys on this, and it has been life-giving and encouraging. And so that's our prayer today. As I mentioned, I'm up here with some incredible women, all who serve on the 514 team, all on staff here. And so I want you guys, first off, I want to say good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy
Mother's Day, this is Carmen. So fun. Thank you, Abby. And Emma, happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you, Carmen.
Yep, this is a first for her, so we're excited for that. But just really quickly share your role on 514 Church team and who you are.
Yeah, my name is Emma, and I'm the small groups director here, and I also do some admin stuff.
Yep.
I am Abby, and I'm on the student team, and I also help with some service programming, and I'm Joel's assistant as well.
Yes, she is. She's killing it.
I'm Kaylee, and I am the children's director, so yes. I hang out with all the kiddos.
Kaylee's like a mom, but not yet a mom, right?
Yeah, they call me mom. It's okay.
She mothers a lot of our children so well. So I love that video that we just saw because it lists all the attributes of mom, right? And there's so many words that describe our mothers. But I want to ask you guys this question. What's the first word that pops in your head when you hear the word mom? Kaylee.
Well, when I hear mom, I think of how constant they are. You know, from the time we are born, from like Joel was saying, you know, changing those dirty diapers and,
yes,
you know, bathing us and feeding us. And then later on going to all the school functions and the plays and just how constantly they are there. And when I think of my mom, I think about that and, yeah, how she's been there for everything, for my, you know, good days, my bad days.
Yes.
And the thing that I think I admire the most about my mom, it's just that she's not only constant for me, she's not always just there for me, she's there for every single person she interacts, yes, with, which I think all of you know Lori, and she's pretty amazing.
Yes.
Yep. And, you know, she is there. She was a teacher for 30 years and will be out at restaurants, and they'll be like, Mrs. Whipple, I love you. I miss you, because yes. they loved her, and because yeah. she cared about them, and she was constantly there for them, which is just yeah. truly beautiful.
So great.
And I see that a lot in God's character, too, just because he is there constantly.
Yeah,
and
great.
That's what is really cool about moms, too.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Abby, what's your word?
My word, you said it a second ago. My word I picked was sacrifice,
yeah.
because I feel like moms give up so much to be a mom. I can't
Amen.
Fathom all the things that are given up. And I think that so many moms are universally sacrificial, in that you wouldn't be able to have the kids that you do if you didn't sacrifice things.
Yeah.
And so it's really important that moms are that way. And I think God's sacrifice obviously is a direct reflection of how that mom-God character is very reflective of each other.
Yeah, that's a great word.
My word is caretaker. Mm. I feel like once you become a mom, you take care of not just your kids, but then you start to take care of your husband, your house, and the calendar.
And everything.
And everything. It drips into everything. Moms take care of everyone. And I think I've done this, I'm sure you have, when you're like, say you're at church, which you're obviously not, but if you're at church and you have a headache, you scan the room to find a mom, because you know she has
yes.
Tylenol in that purse ready to take
Definitely.
Care of you.
Absolutely.
Moms are just prepared at all times to take care of everyone.
Yeah, that's so good. I think my word is superhero. I think moms are superheroes. I have never met someone who... They are so exhausted, so depleted, so spit up on or covered in whatever element, and they're mentally and physically and emotionally pushed to their limit, yet they rise to the occasion again and again and again. Like, it's, I swear, I think that God, I think he, like, gives them some type of superpower when a mom becomes a mom, because there's just something about it. I look at moms, and I always ask the question, how can you be that stretched to whatever limit it may be, yet there's just a certain touch that is the mom's touch, right? That's so significant, or a word from your mom where you're like, oh my gosh, that's what I needed to hear. And right now, we're watching all of the Marvel movies, so we just completed Infinity, the Endgame one. I mean, it was hours long, but at one point, all of the women in that movie, they, like, rise, and they march together, and I was like, that's what moms are. They are
yes,
just, they are superheroes. And so, that's what I think moms are. I think God gives them something special that makes them able to just be, like, superhumans. And, you know, one thing that's so special about all of us today is that we've had really different experiences shape being raised by our moms, obviously, and then also kind of our journey into motherhood. And I do want to take a minute up here with you guys today and talk about the hard. You know, I want to talk about the pain and the loss that comes with the experience of motherhood. I think oftentimes it doesn't get talked about enough, you know, and then I think what that does is, as a mom or an aspiring mom or just a woman who's going through certain struggles that have to do with motherhood, it makes you feel really alone. And, you know, I think God, A, he didn't design us to be alone, and B, he doesn't want us to be. You know, he hates that. And so I think that God uses motherhood, and he shows up in it. And even when we don't even feel that he's there, I believe he's kind of working in our midst. He's working through that pain. And it reminds me of the book of Esther. I love the story of Esther in the scriptures, because if you read that book of the Bible, never once is the name of God mentioned. But you reflect on it, you look at it, and it is so obvious that God was moving pieces, he was orchestrating, he was guiding all of her steps to get to this moment. And I think that sometimes that's how motherhood is, or our journey to be mom. It's that we don't often feel God at times, and we're in the pain and we're in the wilderness, so to speak, but I think he's there. And I know a couple of you have experienced that just with motherhood as this broad topic. And so, Emma, I want you to kick us off and just talk about what this day is for you, and then kind of your journey into momhood and what that looks like.
Yeah, Carmen, you said it at the beginning. Mother's Day has not been easy for me the past few years. It's been
yeah.
a day of sadness, not of celebration.
Yeah.
When my husband Tony and I got married almost 3.5 years ago, we decided to just kind of wing it. And if we got pregnant, we were going to trust God had a plan. I have always wanted to be a mom.
Yep.
I've always wanted a big family. That's a little dispute because I would have a billion kids. And he's like, two, and we'll see what happens.
Right.
But so we were just going with whatever God had planned. And a few months into marriage, we decided to actually start trying to get pregnant. And a few months later, we started to wonder if something was wrong. And a few more months later, we went to the doctor, and everything seemed to be completely fine. And it was about a year into the journey that I was like, oh, we're dealing with infertility. Like, there's a name for this.
Yes, right.
And it had never once crossed my mind that that would happen to me. Like, right. I just assumed, like, okay, if I want to get pregnant, I'll get pregnant. Like, it just never occurred to me that this could happen. I felt so discouraged all the time. I was so, still am a little bit, incredibly sensitive.
Yeah.
When I see people get pregnant, it stings just a little. I have so much joy for them, but it seems like it comes so easy for them, and it has just hurt. Every time I feel discouraged, though, I come across a story in the Bible of a woman who can't get pregnant, and God redeems the story with a baby. There's so many stories. This week, unintentionally, as I was preparing for today, I came across the story of Hannah.
Yeah.
She couldn't get pregnant. She had six children. That's a lot.
Yes.
Six.
Yes,
that is a lot.
A lot. So after almost two full years of trying, I got a positive pregnancy test, and we were so, so excited. Like, God had answered our prayers with this baby. Yeah. We were so excited. We told our families for Christmas, which made Christmas even more fun.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was so excited. So many tears, so much happy. And then Tony and I got engaged and married on New Year's Eve in Illinois, where Tony's family lives. So we try to spend that time of year with them. And as we celebrated our two-year wedding anniversary and rang in the new year, I miscarried our first baby.
Mm.
And I felt so scared and alone and ashamed, even though I knew I did nothing wrong. It was really, really hard. Again, I never thought that would happen. It never once crossed my mind that.
Yep.
I just thought, okay, in 9 months we'll have a baby, and that didn't happen. So after we were cleared by doctors, we immediately started trying again, and I got pregnant again in April. And we were excited, yes, but we were scared. We were like very anxious. I was obsessed with doing everything right and making sure I could have the most perfect pregnancy this time. And a few weeks later, I miscarried again. Mm. I felt so confused by the story God was weaving for me and why this was happening. Miscarriage is one of those like taboo topics that no one talks about until it happens to you, and then you see it in every book you read, every show you watch.
Yeah.
I think light that God has brought through this darkness is how many women have gone through this and how many friends I've made through it, which is not something I expected, but we've had this common pain that we can bond over, which has been really special. Carmen, you probably don't even know this. When I miscarried the first time, you gave me a journal, and it was the first time I consistently started writing my prayers out and being so vulnerable and open with God in a way I hadn't really been before, and just being real with my anger and my sadness and my confusion. And through that, and honestly, reading the Bible, I felt so much clarity and being able to hear from God more. And one of the most beautiful Psalms that I love is Psalms 113. I want to read that really fast. It says, "Praise the Lord. Praise, O you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who dwells on high, who looks down on the things that are in heaven and on earth? He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap to make them all sit with princes, even the princes of his people. Wow. He gives the barren woman a dwelling, making her the joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord." So it was around this time last year that we were at a crossroads to figure out what do we want to do to become parents? And I could not justify seeing a fertility specialist. We both work in nonprofit, and I'm a penny pincher, so I was like, let's not do that.
Yeah.
And it just didn't feel right. My body wasn't naturally doing it. It just didn't feel in my heart like the right thing to do.
Yeah.
So we continued to learn more and educate ourselves and really started talking about foster care. And where we live in Licking County, there are currently 573 kids in foster care.
Wow.
And we have so much love to give. We're, like I said, in nonprofit, this is our thing. This is what we do,
yes.
is help people.
Right.
We have a home. We want to be parents. So we started to pursue this journey, and it wasn't a fix for infertility. It was a way that God was using us in our time of waiting for a child. The point in foster care, the goal is to reunify the child with the biological parents.
Wow.
So we have a child living with us, and during that time that we're caring for the child, their parents, the goal, if it works right, is for the parents to be bettering themselves so that they can be the best parent they can
yeah.
be for that child.
Hmm.
So that's really hard, but it's so beautiful. This whole journey I've made about how I want to be a mom to a baby and made it about me, when in reality it's been about how God can use me to be a mother where I am and use us to be parents. Hmm. I just want to say to every mom that's experienced loss, that your loss matters, your pain matters, your story matters, and God's not done with you. He's writing a beautiful story for you. Whether you have babies on this earth or you lost them too soon, you're a mom, and today we're celebrating you.
Yeah. Whoa.
I know.
Okay, I'll follow that, I guess. No, that's beautiful. Emma, it's your journey. I was somewhat upfront, you know, and close to it. And yeah, I really was. And I just commend you for just how steadfast you were in it. You really were. And honestly, I think there's something in us that we have to open ourselves up to God moving in our pain, you know, and inviting him in to just sit with it and say, here's what it is. And can you help me with it? And I love how flexible you were in the sense that now you're in a different season and you allow God to take the word mom and mean something maybe a little different than what you thought, right?
Absolutely.
But he's like, okay, I'm gonna give you this version of mom, and it's maybe not what you always imagined, but you're so noble. I just commend you for your vulnerability. You know, Brené Brown, she's an amazing author, talks about vulnerability a lot. She talks about how people often think it's our greatest weakness, but actually it's our greatest act of courage. And she says it's the courage to show up and be seen even when we don't know the outcome. And, you know, when I think about, foster care and the idea of, you know, you basically do that. You basically show up. Throw your heart on a platter. You go, okay, I'm exposing myself to the beautiful fulfillment and also the ache that can come from loving this child, but then they might be released back to their parents, yet showing up in such a profound season as their mother. And so, I commend you for that vulnerability and honestly for that bravery. It's just beautiful. It really is. Abby, you have a different experience. You're not a mom yet.
Nope.
Not yet.
not a mom.
Not a mom, but amazing daughter. And you were raised by an incredible woman, just incredible. She's so awesome. And she went through her own, as your whole family did, your own set of pain and struggle, and ended up part of your childhood raising you as a single parent. And man, I do not think single parents, moms and dads, get shouted out enough.
They don't.
Right? They do not get praised enough. If you are a single parent today, I just want to honor you right now because, what you do is ridiculous. I have a tiny taste of being a single parent occasionally when my husband travels a lot. And I can't imagine the burden you carry that's beyond, right? I have a date. He's going to come back, and then I'm going to experience relief. Single parents, you don't get that. And I just, you're so wonderful. You show up in such amazing ways. And I know that that's your experience with your mom. And so I just want you to share how God kind of moved in that pain and also what he revealed about his character through your mom.
Yeah. So like Carmen said, I am not a mom, although I do have a very annoyingly responsible, I must follow every rule personality. Enneagram type 1s, anybody?
Here I am. Emma.
But all joking aside, I'm not a mom just yet, but I have been greatly impacted by my mom and the challenges that she faced in being a mother. Like Carmen said, my mom became a single parent in October of 2008 after my dad passed away following a two-year battle with cancer. And today I kind of just wanted to share a little bit of what that journey looked like for my family and how God worked through my mom and worked through that situation to bring us to where we are now, to where I am now. And I think that something I've been reflecting on a lot lately is that my life and my story specifically with my mom is this like very clear depiction of some of the lyrics in Sea of Victory that we've sang as a church many times. And the lyrics say, you take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. And I truly believe that without Jesus and without my mom, what could have been detrimental to my development and character and who I am, he took that and with my mom turned it into something beautiful. And I know for certain that I would not be sitting on this stage today if it weren't for my mom and for God.
Wow.
And just both of them carrying me through everything. Just to backtrack and give you a little context for my dad's story, he was diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic lung cancer in September of 2006, which is pretty much the worst case scenario when it comes to a cancer diagnosis. You can't get any worse than stage 4, and metastatic meaning that it had pretty much spread throughout a majority of his body. And this was very much out of left field for my family. My dad had really no prior health issues. He was never sick. And so when this happened, our whole family dynamic basically changed overnight. I was in 5th grade. My brother was in 1st grade. And my mom just basically started rising to this challenge that life had handed her. And I, when you say moms are superheroes, it makes me think of my mom, because I literally don't know how she did everything. She managed a full-time job, taking care of my brother and I, dinner on the table, her Sunday laundry routine, which she's probably doing right now, and also taking care of my dad and his long list of medications, his chemo, radiation appointments, and follow-ups with doctors. And she still just showed up every single day, even though I'm sure she didn't want to.
Absolutely.
And then when my dad passed away in 2008, all of that energy that she had poured into my dad and into taking care of him, it just kept like rising, is what I just kept envisioning. She didn't like stop or dwindle or falter once. She just took all that energy that she poured into my dad and basically just added it to what she was already doing for my brother and I. And she was trying to help us process and grieve the loss of our dad while at the same time grieving and processing the loss of her husband. And I'm fairly recently married to my husband, Austin. And I think in the last couple years of us being married and me learning about him and what being married even looks like, I've gotten just a glimpse of what my mom lost in addition to what she was trying to help us understand as kids. And her actions, demeanor, attitude, like through everything, really reminded me of a verse that I read recently in Proverbs, and it's actually the verse of the day today on the Bible app, which
I thought
was super cool.
That's amazing.
It's Proverbs 31:31, and it says, honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Honor her for all that her hands have done. I think that is such a beautiful verse.
Yeah,
and
it
also
it
makes me think, if I literally thought of every single thing that my mom's hands have done, that all of our mom's hands have done, they would get all the praise. Everything she's done for me in my 24 years of life, she deserves every single praise. And she's taught me so much. And I think as I've gotten older and grown closer to her and closer to God, I've started to realize that so much of what my mom taught me is reflected in things that God teaches me every single day. My mom taught me that I'm capable, that I can do things that I think that I can't do. And God reinforces that by giving me opportunities like this to sit here where I'm like, oh, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to like share this story. But he like gives me that chance to do it. My mom taught me that I can thrive. I don't just have to survive in this life. I don't just have to be that girl whose dad passed away and be sad for my whole life. I'm allowed to be sad, but I don't have to live in that, and I can get past it. And God gives me so many opportunities to flourish and grow. Like being here today with all of you guys, I think that's such a testament to God's work in my life. And lastly, my mom taught me that I am strong. My mom is probably the strongest woman that I've ever met, physically and emotionally. She just really teaches me that my strength can't be taken from me. And God, I think, also reinforces that in telling me that he is my strength and that he I can lean on him when I don't feel strong. And so I just want to say for all of you parents or moms specifically today that are on your own, the work that you're doing is not in vain. It's not going unnoticed. It matters. And your kids are going to be better for the work that you're putting in right now. I cannot imagine how hard it is being a single parent. I watched how hard it was for my mom, and I definitely did not make her life easier at times. And so I know that your kids, when they have some time to think and they get a little older, they'll look back and they will have you and they will have God to thank for why they are the way that they are.
Man, that's so beautiful, Abby.
Thank you.
I echo that about encouraging single parents again, that, you know, even as a mom, man, I know I'm not going to get it all right, but, and to every single mom, there are things you are going to get right. And I think it matters so much, those things. Yeah. And, just a reminder that like God is with you. I think sometimes we think that, human help is really what we need. And I want to remind every mom, but single moms, like you have the God of the universe on your side. Right? Like he is for you. He wants to be with you. He wants to help you. And man, that's a big help, right? That's a huge thing. And so that's beautiful. Thanks for sharing. I love that. We're going to switch gears a little bit. And I want to talk about just parenting at different phases and different stages. I am currently like in the thick of it. I have a 3-year-old, a just 6-year-old, just turned 6 a couple days ago, and an 8-year-old. And I mean, they're wild little Indians. They just keep me on my toes. They're crazy. And it's very humbling to understand how to mother them all the time. But I think it's really important to just talk about the different stages, and I want to encourage moms for just a little bit. And Kaylee is up here, and we're all actually up here in the phase of being a young adult, right? Am I still considered a young adult?
Yeah, you are.
Thank you. Absolutely. I needed to hear that. A young adult parented by our older parents and our empty nester parents. And I think that relationship is so significant. The way that empty nester parents, older parents, still parent their younger adult kids. Yeah. And so I want to encourage just that group of people right now. And I read through the Proverbs during quarantine. I was doing one a day because what else do you do? And you read the Proverbs. And I want to share this verse. This is Proverbs 1:8-9. It says this: "My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them," listen to this, it's so beautiful, "what you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck." What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. If you know Kaylee Whipple, then when you hear a verse like that, you go, yes. Your parents raised you in a way that is so godly. They instilled the character of God in you, that Kaylee, like, you wear a crown of grace and a chain of honor around your neck. And if you know the Whipples, if you know Lori Jo, then like you have been mothered by her. She is a mother who mothers everyone, she like does, you said. And I've been mothered by her. I bet we all have. And so I just want you to share, Kaylee, a little bit of your experience of, you know, you still needing mom, even though you're not little anymore. Yeah. And also just your experience with the empty nesters who are kind of jumping into that phase and just what you see in that.
Yeah, totally. So it's funny, we talked earlier, I lead the senior group, and they call me mom, which is, you know, I don't know how their moms feel about it, but they do call me mom, and I have had the privilege of leading them for the past several years with Aubrey Lankford, and they have taught me a lot. They've taught me TikTok dances, which I'm sure you guys know,
yes.
The lingo we're supposed to use, and it's been truly amazing, and I was so bummed to hear that, you know, they had their senior year kind of just torn out from them. Yeah. And so what I did was I just dropped off some care packages to them just to be like, hey, we're here for you. And I actually got to talk to one of the girls and her mom. This makes sense. I promise the story makes sense. And her mom was just getting so emotional thinking about her little girl going off to college. And, you know, I'm sure as many moms feel in that moment when their son and their daughter start moving out, is this idea of, have I, you know, has my children outgrown me? Do my children still need me? Do they, you know, what am I to them anymore when they leave? And I'm here to say that that is 100% not true, because even at 29 years old, I literally still need my mom. So I even, you know, still call her or FaceTime her to be like, mom, is this chicken done? I don't know. It looks like a little weird, or I forget how to hard boil an egg. Can you please remind me?
I love it.
The very silly things, but you know, my mom has, I don't want to get emotional. I already started getting emotional when we were talking about Lori. She is truly amazing. And, there's this verse that I always think of when I hear, you know, mother, and it really is a true identifier of God's character too. So I'm going to read that. It's from Psalm 56:8. You've kept track of my every toss and turn through the sleepless nights, each tear written in your ledger, each ache written in your book. And that is what my mom has done. She has been there through the dark days, through the good days, and that is truly God's character, because he is there through everything. He knows when we're really happy, or he knows when we're really struggling, and that is what my mom does. And about a year ago, I was having one of those really dark times, one of the times that we don't really talk about very much, because I come off as a very, you know, positive person, but, you know, we all have our moments. Yeah. And it was this time where I felt so lonely and so anxious filled. And my mom calls me every day, and she called me that certain day and asked me all the typical questions. How are you? How was this? How's that? And I was very, like, one-word response. I'm fine. I'm good. It's okay. Like, I don't really want to see anybody. I just want to be by myself. And she must have known that something was off, because
they always know.
And about 30 minutes later, I hear a knock on my door, and I'm like, who is that? And I look out, and it's my mom. Yeah. And we all know how we feel about unannounced guests. I'm sure everybody loves those.
Not okay.
And she came in, and I instantly just started crying.
Yeah.
Because she knew that I needed her, but I didn't even have to say it. And she is always that way. I don't even have to say anything, but she already knows, because she hurts when I hurt. And she just sat there and she listened to me, and I cried and I just spilled everything out. And she sat there and she told me that she loved me and that I was valuable. And she just grabbed my hands and just was like, Kaylee, like, I love you and God loves you. And no matter what, you are loved. And she started telling me about this book that she had been reading, and it's called The Circle Maker, and it's a beautiful book. I haven't read it yet. It's on my list. And what this book does is teaches you techniques and different ways to pray. And this is going to sound crazy, but she told me how she wanted to pray for me, and she took my picture off the wall at my parents' house and just started walking around it praying for me, because she cared about me. And that just showed how beautiful she is and how diligent her prayer life is. She has this closet. It's not even like your typical, like, master bedroom closet, but she sits in there and she prays. And she prays for me because she loves me and she believes in me. And I just find that truly, truly amazing that a mom would do that.
Yeah.
And I hope that one day I can be a mom and that I'm even just like a fraction of what she is. Yeah. And so, Mom, thank you for thank you for being so amazing and loving me and believing in me. And my point for all of this is that moms of empty nesters, moms with older adult children, you matter. You are valuable. We still need you. You know, do not back down because we still love you and we need you. And your prayers and your love for us, they matter.
Yeah. Do not back down. That's right. I think it's funny. It's like you get older, but you still need your mom. And I love the idea of you're at a different stage of parenting, right? When you're our parents' age. And I guess I want to say, like, we don't need corrected anymore. I think they know that. Some do. Some still correct. My mom corrects me every now and then. But I think one thing that's so important to build, and that's what your mom has done such a beautiful job of, is that friendship, right? Mm-hmm. And my mom lost her mom a year ago in January. This is her second Mother's Day without her. And what I watched her lose that was maybe the most profound thing was friendship, right? Like, she lost a friend. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, there's something so significant about being an older parent who cultivates friendship with your kids. And man, my mom does that. We joke that there's four kids, and whenever I see her, like, I feel like half the time she's on her phone with one of us. Like, we all need her. We all talk to her every single day. Even my brother, like, you know, I know he's dialing Mom's phone, okay? I know it. Maybe it's just for babysitting, but he is reaching out to Mom. But I think it's something that, is so important to develop friendship with your adult age children, because that's what we want and that's what we need. And your mom did that. And my mom, man, she is one of my absolute best friends, mm-hmm. just my go-to best friend. And I'm so grateful for that role that she's now playing. Emma, you have like an update in your world. So share what's going on in the life of Emma as now mom.
Yeah, so in February, we became licensed foster parents. 3 days after getting licensed,
wow.
We had a little girl come stay with us, and a week later, she turned 2.
Goodness gracious. She is, awesome. Is she a terrible 2-year-old?
She is a terrible 2-year-old. We know that. That phrase is very true.
Yes.
But she is so, she's also so sweet and cuddly and lovey, and she's so funny. I belly laugh every day with her. She's seriously such a joy. We've been quarantined together for over 7 weeks.
Mercy.
And like with any family, that's such a special, unique amount of time.
Yes.
And then especially in foster care, because we don't know how much time we have with her.
Right.
But I am slowly losing my mind.
No.
Like we said, toddlers are tough. She has a lot of trauma. She's moved a lot. A lot's happened in her 2 years. So toddlers with trauma are really tough.
Yeah.
I'm learning every day so much about patience and how to meet her where she is with what she needs, which is like the most beautiful picture of how God has been patient with me and met me where I am.
Mm-hmm.
I am a mom in every sense of the word. I'm called mama every day, and I'm called dada every day, because when you have 4 sets of parents, it gets really confusing.
Yes.
But I wipe her nose. I'm there for her firsts. I potty train her. I laugh with her. I hold her in the middle of the night when she's crying. Mm. But I'm mothering someone else's child, which is not what I would have ever thought I would do, but it is one of the most beautiful things I could be doing. And I can't imagine my season looking any different. And
yeah,
being a mom is so important, and I'm so grateful to hold that title.
Yeah, I heard the phrase that the glory of motherhood comes camouflaged in so much chaos.
Yes.
You're experiencing some chaos right now.
A little bit, yeah.
Right? Like, even just being in quarantine, it's... And so sometimes you have to, like, dig, right, for, like, the beauty and the good and the reason that it matters.
You say yes to speaking on Mother's Day so you can have a day out, you
That's
know?
That's right.
You got to take what you can get.
You're desperate, Emma, for that.
So desperate. I hate being on stage.
I love it. that's amazing. I'll share a little bit, and I hope to encourage moms who are in the thick of it just with this reminder that I'm learning right now. One thing that I'm just learning is how much me being a mom and me being a parent helps me grow into more of a godly woman. Like, I am learning the characteristics of God just by being a mom. It's such an important role. And I am learning, you know, humility, because I'm learning I'm not always right, even though I think I am. I'm learning sacrifice, because as a parent, you give up so much. Like, you don't know it, but you give up a lot. You think you gave up a lot. You think about what God gave up, right? And then I'm learning grace, because grace is something that I need every single day, every single moment. And so it's really cool, because I'm in this journey of being able to step out of, like, the total chaos of it and going, man, like, God is using motherhood to make me more like him. It's really beautiful. And then one thing that I'm being struck with is just the responsibility that it is to be a mother and to raise my little people and your little people into incredible humans. Like, what a burden and what a weight that is, that God has given me that. Andy Stanley said this. He said this, and it impacted me so much. He said that your greatest contribution to the world might not be something you do, but someone you raise. Right? Might not be something you do, but someone you raise. And man, like, I want my kids, and I want to encourage moms with this. I want my kids to discover what God has for them and the plan he has for them. And I want to make sure that I actually parent in a way that I don't get in the way of them experiencing and understanding what God has for them. You know, I thought that, like, my kids are my children, but they're also God's kids. Like, he made them in his image. He is their heavenly father. And I want to parent in a way where his plan for their life, it's more evident than mine. It's bigger, it's louder, it's more beautiful. And as an 8 on the Enneagram, wanting to control everything, man, I have to step back and be humbled by going, man, God, you created them. You have a life for them. You have plans for them. And you're letting me influence them in such a profound way. But I want to be close to what you want for them and what you want for their life, because it's grander than I could ever imagine. It's better than what I could see. And so I am trying to view some of my parenting as almost like a partnership with God, and trying to stay in tune in my prayer life with God. What do you want for my kids, and what do you see in them? And help me see that. Help me love them the way you see them. And so I try to talk to them about just the way God sees them. One thing that we're talking about right now is my kids are very interested in how they, like, got here on earth, which I don't want to get into all of that with them. And one thing I talk to them about is, though, how the same God who made the volcanoes that they are so in awe of right now, and the galaxies and the ocean and all the weird fish that live miles below, that same God who took that much intention and time and detail into creating all of those things, guess who else he created? You. You know? And yeah, I think that you have to tell your kids the way God sees them all the time. All the time. Tell them who he made them to be. And so that is something I'm doing right now. My parents, they did this very well with me. I was enamored at a very young age of this plan that God had for me, because they said it, you know? And so what that all does is it makes me examine the time that I have with my kids. I think the thing about motherhood is, you can get quite literally beat down by the mundane, just the monotony, just the everyday grind of someone needs something and someone needs a flipping snack. I mean, if I give one more snack during quarantine, I'm gonna flip out, okay? But, like, it's just that mundane, that grind,
And God has been revealing to me, and I want to encourage moms today that it is in those simplistic moments that, man, he wants to show up. And those moments that seem insignificant, they can be sacred, they can be beautiful, and you can have time with your kid where God plants a seed in them of something beautiful, and you're not quite sure what it's going to turn into, but I think the promise of God is that it will birth into something gorgeous and beautiful. And so I heard that oftentimes we examine our time and we go quantity versus quality. And we go, okay, we want to make sure we have quality time over quantity. But someone recently said to me, it's actually the quantity of quality time. And so I'm trying to look into that and figure out what that looks like. My mom was so intentional about time with us. She made it such a factor that matters. And so last year I decided I was going to do a girls' trip with my girls. I thought, okay, they're old enough, I can put you on a plane and we can travel and it's gonna be like an okay experience. And so we did that with my mom and sister. We went to Disney and it was the best. Like, it was the best few days. We did it also. We literally were at Disney World the day before it closed, like all the parks closed, which was the favor of the Lord, if you ask me. But we were at Disney and it's just those little moments you have that conversations happen that will shape me forever as a mom. We were in the pool one day playing and my two daughters, they just could not be more opposite. God's teaching me how to connect with them at different, like, you know, just the different way that they are. I naturally connect at times with one better than the other. And at one point we were in the pool and I don't know how we got talking about how God made them, but my middle daughter said, I think God made me to be girly. And I'm like, okay, whatever that means, Lyndon. And then my older daughter, she said, God made me to be adventurous. And I was like, you know what? He did. And so we've been using that to just drip into her adventure, right? Like, God has a plan for you. It's great. It's adventurous. It's amazing. And you need to chase after that. And so we're pulling out adventure in her right now. Another thing, and this is the last thing and I'll close, is I think that you have to be really intentional about connection with your kids and making the most of that time. And my middle daughter is really easy to connect to because she's a leech and she goes around everywhere with me. Everything she does with me. And so naturally, like, she's there, man. She's just with me. And my other daughter, oldest daughter, she's so amazing. She's a little bit more reserved into herself. And so I've tried to figure out, like, what's a way that I can connect with her. And so I got this journal, and it's called Just Between Us. It's a mother-daughter journal. And it's so cool because it's called a no-stress, no-rules journal. And it has all these prompts in it of different things. You know, another night was, you know, a drawing of my dream outfit and a drawing of hers. If you know anything about my drawing, this was an interesting, I had to use words to describe it, but it's all these different prompts of, you know, what you dream about and what you want to be when you're older and what were you like when you were my age. And so what we do is she writes in it and marks it and then puts it on my nightstand. And then I write in it back to her and put it on her nightstand. And we just go back and forth. And it's become this, like, very beautiful, sacred thing for me because I connect with her in this way. And, you know, I've learned little things such as who she wants to be when she gets older, what her last dream was about, which was very bizarre, you know, what she's afraid of, what is something she's scared to talk to me about. And so it's this beautiful way of connecting with her. And so I think you have to fight for that connection with your kids. It's not all the same. And that's what God's teaching me right now, that those moments really, really matter with your kids because something divine can happen, something God ordained and sacred can happen in those moments. And so I just want to encourage moms today that your role is so profound. It's really beautiful. And there's no one that can mom your kids quite like you can. You are exceptional at it. And so I just want to encourage moms with that today.
Yeah. Carmen, you are truly an amazing mom.
You're sweet,
Kayla. I mean, I look up to you. I'm sure these two do as well. I mean, you, the way you are with your kids, that right there, that is going to change Scarlett.
Yeah.
And that is beautiful.
Yeah.
And the moments, as a children's director, I have learned that. Those matter so much.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Parents do them because they do.
Yeah. yep. Today, I want to close with this, that no matter where you are in your mothering stage or your journey of motherhood, maybe that's a day of pain, maybe it's a day of great joy, that I think that God wants to walk through our pain. He is actually a master at doing that, of coming alongside people in their darkness and in their wilderness and going, I want to be with you in this. And I find it funny that I think God would walk through pain just like a mother would. He would nurture us through the chaos of our lives just like a beautiful mom would. And so to all the moms out there, thank you for what you do every day. Even when you don't think you get it right, you do an amazing job. And we're so grateful for the role that you play in our lives. We're going to close with a song called The Blessing. And it's so fitting for Mother's Day because it's just, it's a prayer, honestly, for moms and I think for families. And Abby, you might have a little bit more to say about this song.
Yeah, so we're going to go ahead and sing The Blessing here in just a minute. And I just want to take a second and say that I hope that this song is a blessing to you today for you as a mom and for your families. I think some of the lyrics in this song, they're so simple, they're so beautiful, they're straight from scripture, they're very repetitive. So just think about the words that you're singing over and over again. And I pray that God's favor is on you and your family, and that you as a mom, what you do for your kids, it can impact generations and yes. Their children and their children and their children. It can go on forever. So what you do matters, and we're so grateful for everything that you guys do. Let's sing this song together after Carmen prays.
Yeah, I'm going to pray for us really quick. Please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for moms today. Thank you that you created that role. You created the vision for a mom and the way that they would love and that they would sacrifice the way you do. And God, I just pray for every single woman who is watching this right now, who maybe is experiencing some level of pain, some level of loss. God, I pray that you would just be close to them today. God, I pray that they would feel comfort today. They would feel peace today, knowing that even though they may not have their mom, that you're with them, God, that you meet them in that struggle and in that pain. And I pray that you would just remind every single one of us that you're a God who redeems things and you renew things and you make beauty come from ashes and you make joy come from painful circumstances. And I pray that that would be on every single person's heart today, God, that you can take whatever pain that maybe this day is associated with, and God, you can make something beautiful come from it. I pray a special blessing on every mother, every single child, every single family, God, that you would grant them favor, that you would just bless them in ways that they can't imagine. God, that they would just develop and grow into who you've created them to be. And God, we love you so much. We're so thankful for the way that you've given us our moms and their amazing, amazing influence they have in our lives. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. may his fame be upon you in a thousand generations, in your family, in your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you in a thousand generations, in your family, in your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you in a thousand generations, in your family, in your children, in their children, in their children. May his favor be upon you in a thousand generations, in your family, in your children, in their children, in their children. May his presence go before you.
This morning, happy Mother's Day to everyone. Happy Mother's Day. We'll see you next week.